Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Indistinguishable from Magic Podcast with Rafal Loes and Chris Abramson. Chris and Rafal have learned not to take themselves too seriously. Fortunately, they take their profession seriously. This podcast features no-nonsense analysis, seeded with humor, in a way that lets us all laugh at ourselves, while we try to address some of the tough issues in security. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
What's up, friends? Welcome to Indistinguishable from Magic, the podcast that takes its name from the Arthur C. Clarke quote, "Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic." Buckle in, because we're not handing out participation trophies, but you know we're going to call some bullshit. My name is Rafal Loes, and joining me is my equally grumpy co-host, Mr. Chris Abramson, and we like to think of ourselves as the Statler and Waldorf of cybersecurity, because, face it, the InfoSec Goat Rodeo could use a couple of clowns. So drinks in hand, let's go.
As Chris giggles, Indistinguishable from Magic is live. I love the funny things we do off air that none of you will ever know about.
Oh, shit.
Mostly tell stupid jokes about trying to stay in shape at this age.
What age?
And how it's not.
Hey, speak for yourself. At what age?
All right, fine. I'll speak for myself. I have gotten super lean, but just still well padded. So I'm well insulated now.
So this will topically go into tonight's show. For the first time,
you had some show and tell.
Yeah, I got some show and tell, but actually, I wanted on the trying to stay lean exercise front. For the first time in over a year and a half, year. God, how long have we been in? How long have we been quarantined in our houses?
50, 75 years. I don't know.
Well, you know,
but they, I don't know.
Hold on. I also live in Illinois. You're in Georgia. I've been quarantined longer, so
I've been outdoors almost a year, man.
No,
it's okay.
So it's been about a little over a year. I finally got back in the pool today, and I did 60 minutes in the pool today.
Jazzercise?
No, jazzercise. Oh my god, no laps, man, laps, real laps.
All those things I can't do.
Yep,
I'll run. You swim. It's not the same.
Yeah, but it was nice, you know, and plus it's easier on the knees than the running uphill that you do. So,
yeah, I feel like every run I do starts out uphill, the middle is uphill, and then the end is all uphill. Like somewhere along the line, I have to be going downhill. I just don't know when.
You live in Georgia. Everything's uphill in Georgia.
That's also true. Maybe that's where the uphill both ways to school thing came from.
Yeah,
the district in Georgia.
So speaking on the show and tell. So I was in Kentucky last week for spring break, which was by far probably one of the best trips. You know, we do the family spring break thing, 'cause I got a 9-year-old. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we're not doing like Miami Beach, you know, the booze
if
scene.
If you did, you'd be locked in a hotel room.
Yeah. quite true.
Way to go,
so
Miami.
Yeah. So we did Kentucky, right on the border between Kentucky and Tennessee. And of course, you know, you go to Kentucky and you got to hit the Bourbon Trail. So, I hit a couple of distilleries, but the first thing I want to show you, this is awesome. So we found a little antique shop by where we were, and this is what I picked up.
Well, you found, are those ice cubes?
They're chillers for your whiskey. You throw these at,
they're bullet chillers.
They're bullet
That's
chillers.
Fantastic.
They are bullet chillers. I want to say if I frame this right, the caliber is probably, it's a little bit bigger than 45.
That is pretty fantastic.
That's there we go.
That is, did you get me one?
No, unfortunately there was only one set, so I got me one.
Well, that's
but
fine.
I'm sure your birthday is coming up soon, Raf, so I'll keep my eyes open for you.
My birthday just passed and I was in Cabo, so anyway.
And then of course, you know,
it's not quite Kentucky, but
it's not Kentucky, but I, you know, you did whale watching, so and then, you know, so I hit the distilleries, and this is the one that I'm drinking tonight. It is a newer distillery because they didn't even have a whiskey out yet. All they had was their shine. Oh. They had their shine, they had a vodka, and they had their first batch of bourbon. So I am drinking Old Glory Distilling Company's bourbon, based out of Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay.
So, and
what's that taste like?
It's definitely sweeter. It has a little bit of sweetness to it. I can definitely taste the kind of a nutty like aftertaste to it, like a hazelnut aftertaste to it. It's really interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting.
What's the proof on that thing?
On this one, 90.
All right, so 45 ABV. That's not too bad.
It's actually pretty good.
That's a good one to try some of that. I have gone back for today to an old favorite, my 1792 small batch, because that's what it is. That's what it's about. And so I've got that. But I'm telling you guys, listening, if you're in Georgia or can make your way down here, I'm going to manage to probably either get Chris on the show or we'll just crack a bottle and talk about it. But Legends Distilleries, where I was a couple of weeks ago, did a tour, and these guys have this, what sounds fictional, this purification process, something, 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 delicious bourbon whiskey, and even vodka, which is, they make 115 proof sweet wheat, like a wheater, and I'm telling you, there is no edge on it. It is a magical thing. So we're going to do that soon. But for now, 1792 in the glass. Cheers.
Cheers.
And here's to a clink, clink. Here's to an interesting show. So, So Chris caught me. This is going to be a bit of a personal issue for me and you guys that have gone back and forth with me on Twitter and or LinkedIn. We'll understand.
Have you actually had a Twitter fight on this one? Oh, I'd love to know.
I don't Twitter fight anymore because, you know, fighting on the internet is something, 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 wrestling, mud, pig likes it, that kind of thing. But, so here's the thing. Eventually, we're all going to have to go back to like real life. This hiding in our homes, working from home, not having human contact thing. My premise is this. This is not healthy. Psychologists have written so as much. And I retweeted something about a while back about more or less that we have to go back, or some companies are going back because people are finding there's significant cases uptick of mental issues. Right. People kind of, much more than just getting lonely, like human going too long without physical contact. And it gets bad. So, of course, I was immediately beset upon by the, video works just fine. And we should just all go to video and never leave our homes again. Why would I ever want to go to work when I don't have to wear pants at home? Kind of nonsense. And the same kind of issue.
Well, I would assume for the massive introvert, this is probably a great, landing spot for them, and it works and it's wonderful. I go kind of I go both ways on this one. Yes, I do like the idea of actually getting back in the office and seeing people and having conversations and using a whiteboard, because I miss a whiteboard. God, I miss a whiteboard.
Oh my God. There is no substance. I'll go into that rant in a second.
I miss a whiteboard.
Whiteboard.
I am going to fight the other side too, because I wouldn't be a devil's advocate without being a devil's advocate, Raf. But the reality is I get more work done. I get more work. Yes, I'm in my little hidey hole down in the basement, away from the world, but I get a significant amount of work done without people dropping by. And, I can shut off Teams. I can shut off email. I can focus on what I need to do. And
so that is work that you can do individually on your own. That does not require contact with other people, no doubt. Like if you can isolate and nobody's stopping by your cube 12 times an hour going, hey, quick question. And to the point where you literally want to start ignoring people and seeing how long it takes before you have to break somebody's arm for touching you. I absolutely am with you on that. However,
Oh boy.
Here's my case in point, and I'll give you the whiteboard example. So my team and I have been going back and forth. My principal architect, Aaron, my boss, Jeff, and I have been going back and forth. As you know, we're building a security business, and we're doing kind of design and figuring things out, right? And the best way to do that, in my mind, is mind maps and whiteboards, okay? So doing that over a series of Teams calls and on, you know, twice a week or three times a week for an hour each, all right, fine. But and I thought we were doing all right. And I just said, look, guys, can we just get together in Denver for an afternoon? Fly in the night before, have dinner. Happened to be St. Patrick's Day by accident.
Wait, is this when you found the one Russian bar in Denver and sat at a Russian bar for St. Patrick's Day?
You know, to be fair, there used to be an Irishman that owned that place, but I'm not going to say no. But now it is completely owned and operated. And anyway, the Red Square is amazing. So we got together, sat down at 9, finished out at 2. And I swear to you, we got about 10 full whiteboards or less done. I got pictures of all of them just to kind of capture all of it. But we got done in those couple of hours, like that half afternoon. More work and more actual, like, collective
tangible
brainstorming, tangible idea swapping. Like, hey, I think, oh no, but what about, yeah, it's cool, but what if we did, like, that kind of thing that we have done since the 1st of January?
No, I will agree. You know, it's like we've tried to use whiteboard, like the electronic whiteboard in my laptop and talk through stuff. And, you know, the one thing I do miss is, you know, everybody being able to get up, erase something, write it in, you know, and do, you know, put their idea up on the board and figure it out. You know, we figure something out.
And then you walk up and erase it. Yeah, I totally.
Yep.
Absolutely. But, and so that's my premise, man. I think that, and I know this industry is filled with people that don't, it's not a knock, that just don't do well with people. And I get that. I've been in this industry a long time, and I absolutely get that. I'm not delusional. However, you do, from a psychology perspective, it is mentally detrimental to be without outside human contact for a long period of time. And it is causing significant issues. And I promise you, I grew up in a way that, you know, Eastern European immigrant family, right? Everything we did, my dad did in person on a handshake. Like, that's it. It doesn't, like, there was no better way. And so business that I do, closing deals, doing intros, like all this crap is absolutely in person. You know, we're not on a golf course like some companies, but, you know, I'll do it over dinner, or we'll do it over, you know, over across a table, right? Like, hey, you want this. I think we can deliver. Let's put it on a board. Let's work through it. Let's make sure we're both happy. I can see you. I can gauge your reaction. I can see that you've got your arms crossed. You're leaning back. You're leaning forward. Like, video calls just don't convey that well. The human presence.
I think you're hitting on the body language that you miss when you sit in a room with somebody. And it goes both ways. You know, being on the enterprise side of things, when you have to sit down and have a heart to heart with a vendor about something, or a partner, or even an employee, there's a lot to be said about being in a room and having that conversation and gauging their response, gauging their comfort level and how they're going to react to that situation and how they're going to walk away from it. So.
Right. It's a completely different gravity when you're in the presence of another human being having a difficult conversation, or having a, like, praising somebody. Good job, man. You slap them on the back, you high five them, you fist bump, shake the hand, like,
can't fist bump
whatever.
Can't fist bump a camera. You can try.
I mean, it's just weird, right? Yeah. So
you've been on this rant for a while though, because
I have. This is pre-COVID for me. Like, I think, look, there's a balance. I'm not saying everybody in the office all the time, because then we miss that, like, leave me alone, I just want to be productive. But if we did 3 on, 2 out, that gives us, for most parts of our profession, that gives us the option of getting a better work-life balance, because when I'm working from home, right, it's days where I don't typically have a ton of important meetings that I need to go attend in person. So it's you know, one of those days where I need to sit and focus, cool. But if I want to take a 2-hour lunch break to go run in the afternoon and take a shower and make myself, you know, make lunch and do groceries, cool, I can do that.
Well, like, I think
I can't do that while at the office.
Hey, I think we're actually going to see more and more, to the detriment of commercial real estate, a lot of companies start to scale back. And if you want the flexibility to work from home, or you want the flexibility to work in an office, you want to do, like you said, 2 on, 3 off, 3 on, 2 off, 4 days in, 4 days in, 1 day out. I think we're going to start to see a lot of companies reshape and reevaluate how much actual real estate they need and where they, you know, where they can place people. This also, and this is one that I think is really important, because it's one that I know you have felt this and I have felt it too, is the talent pool of hiring people.
1,000,000%.
Of where can I find a qualified person for a role that I have, and how do I get that person hired? And this is one really important to me, because I think we have, as, and not just the security industry, but industry as a whole, unless you're in a job that requires you to be hands-on, and let's face it, I can't remember what the statistic was that I saw, but I want to say it's like somewhere between roughly like 25-30% of jobs, maybe a little bit more. They're IT based. It's probably, and that's growing. That is growing by leaps and bounds. Okay. And talent for that, you can't just look at the talent pool in your state and hope to God that you can find somebody to fill a role. It just doesn't work like that anymore. You got to look everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and that we've had, I've worked for companies that have said, you know, we're a, you know, Sheboygan based company. We have to hire all of our talent here. And you're like, you're delusional. You're like, okay, so you're going to, you know, but well, we have to pay more elsewhere. I'm like, right. But then you actually hire people that are good. Like, we're not manufacturing jobs where you have to stand at a steel stamping press or
machine line, jobs, right? Manufacturing jobs.
Like, you don't have to do that, right? We're not in that sector. We're in a sector that has both the luxury. Let's face it. It is a luxury.
Yeah.
Our parents largely didn't have this.
Nope.
So it's a luxury, and it's a responsibility, because now working from home means, yes, I can probably balance my life better, which is fantastic, but I have to now regulate better, which means, and it's not just because everybody automatically, like my last company is like, well, if we'd like people to work from home, how are we going to know they're working? I'm like, because they have output. Like, do you just suck as a manager? Is that the problem? The answer was unequivocally yes.
They
sucked as a manager. They sucked as a management structure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. But the fact that I think that the notion that people work from home, so they're going to screw off all day, like, you can see productivity. Like, it's not hard.
Well, right? I mean,
it's either task based or it's goal based. You give somebody a goal. Why do you care whether they're sitting at their laptop from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.? Give them a job to do. If they've done it, let them go live, do what they need to. Like,
I mean, no matter what you do, whether you work in operations, whether you are engineering, architecture, strategy based, whatever it is you're doing, you have deadlines. You have responsibility. You have to deliver on, you know, keeping things up running, or delivering a new technology, or developing a new technology, or writing code for a new technology. The company doesn't stop functioning just because you're not physically sitting somewhere that you need to be and doing your job. Now, on the flip side, I don't know if I really want somebody in the security industry who has access to some of our core systems sitting at, you know, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts doing their job from Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts, riding an AT&T, you know, hotspot, or, you know,
Krispy Kreme.
for those of you who live in the South, I'll be nice. Yes, Krispy Kreme. Okay, thank you. I know, donuts. I think we still. I think there's an throw the security piece in here, but there. I think there's an element of responsibility on behalf of the worker, and it's not just would you want that insurance broker who's working on your file sitting with it open on a screen in public with everybody around them? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's there's the catch. But we also tell employees like, hey, don't be working on the corporate PowerPoint or the spreadsheet, customer
intellectual property.
While sitting in, 3C on the airplane, like maybe that's not a good, but that's a situational awareness. I mean, come on. Like this is things that I know it's not an automatic, but I would expect people to like, if I can tell you that, you should be able to go, oh yeah, it's a good idea. I probably don't want that. That said, I've actually been a victim of the other side of the work from home issue is that I will grab a cup of coffee, just go check email real quick at like 7:30, and then suddenly realize it's 4:15 and I haven't even showered and haven't done anything, much less poured myself a cup of coffee.
You work from home, you pour yourself the cup of coffee, you sit down at your computer and you swear to yourself that I'm only going to answer one or two emails. I'm just going to see the hot stuff that's come in. And before you know it, you're right. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're like, crap, did I eat lunch? Did I work out?
Like what happened to wearing my PJs?
Why am I in my pajamas? Right. Yeah. No, I've had a couple of those days, and that didn't start at 7:30. It started at 5:30 in the morning.
And see, and if you were driving to the, if you were working from the office, that there's, that actually can't happen. Right. Cause
you gotta get ready.
You have the opportunity to eat. Like maybe you wake up late, but assuming you don't, like you have that opportunity. And yes, your day will get rolling. Quickly,
you're dropping the kids off at school.
And then disconnecting. When you work from the office, it's mentally much easier to go, I am going home now. I am closing the lid on my laptop. I'm going to put it in my bag and leave it there for the night.
I agree with you 100% on that. I am pretty certain a lot of companies have gotten multiple hours of more productivity out of their employees during this. This thing that has happened over the last year that I won't call by name anymore.
So you've got the factor of being separated from our peers, our friends, our colleagues. And then the potential to be working extremely long, isolated days. And I promise you, you're not going to find a psychiatrist who's going to say, yeah, it's a great thing for humans to be isolated and working long periods of time. Like, this is how ship's captains in outer space go insane and kill the entire ship. Like, this is how it happens. Yes, I'm giving you a plot twist to the movie. Exactly what – like,
how Khan and his crew went nuts, like being stuck on the planet or out in space for as long as they did. Total Star Trek reference.
I watch TNG, our
Trekkie fans will totally get the reference. I promise you all.
Is that Darth Vader? Just kidding. Write the hate mail to Chris.
No, that is Rafal Los.
But
do a Twitter lookup on DTSR and you will be able to find him.
Shut up. Oh, that's cruel. And if they don't know who I am, then they're probably just listening for you and they don't care. I think that there's a couple of implications here beyond the psychological. I think once we kind of it's hard to argue the productivity and psychological points. It really is. Once you've actually looked at the science behind it. The second part of this is, you touched on it. There are some jobs that while you can work remote, you probably don't always want to because there's privacy issues here.
Yep.
I can look at x-rays all day long. I probably shouldn't be doing it from Starbucks. I can review diagnosis. Again, probably should not be doing it from public spaces or on insecure connections or on, non-company equipment, that kind of thing. I think a year ago, yeah, about a year ago now, March of 2020, the year that held such promise, we all thought, okay, we're just going to go home for 2 weeks. It's not going to be that bad. 2 weeks in, we realized, yeah, this could be ugly. A year into our 2 weeks, we're going, well, this isn't going to work. And we've seen the outputs of that from a security perspective, right? We've seen, I'm going to reiterate, beautiful state of my lovely state of Georgia with the Department of Children's Services, who just couldn't, whatever the reason was, massive issue with, business email compromise that went sideways because that's how everybody communicated literally everything over email.
Well, I mean,
and I'm not going to go down that rant again, but it's all these issues compounding. And I think as the workforce reshapes.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. And then I'm going to jump all over you on something.
Oh boy. So as the workforce reshapes, right, we start to go back to work, whether it's some companies will go full time back to the office, some companies will go some time on, some time off, sometimes some companies will just be like, forget it, we don't need to go, we don't ever need to see each other again, and roll the dice and suffer the consequences. But as things go back to some new normal, I think security needs to think long and hard about how we're going to prepare for the next one of these. Because this is not an isolated incident, kids. This is going to happen again. It's going to probably happen more often than we're ever going to be comfortable with.
Okay. You brought up...
I'm going to get a nice long sip.
You take a nice long sip. You mentioned business email compromise a minute ago. Okay. And how security needs to buck up for this. That I don't disagree with. Okay. But how would anything that would have gone wrong with people in the office been different with them out of the office?
Because to me,
that screams that they didn't have good security practices in the first place.
Correct. But they were not, because specifically in Georgia, the systems that they were using were all LAN-based. The case management system, they all had to go back to the office and enter their case notes and everything. And since they couldn't, they just emailed each other stuff because, that's what
Easy thing was to just, I'll toss it in my Gmail and pitch it over the wall and
Yahtzee.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
winner.
Well, but I mean, there's probably a lot of companies, a lot of agencies, when March 15th of 2020 rolled around and 2 weeks and everybody was going, oh crap, we're going to be in our houses for the next 12 months. Every company in the world was going, oh crap, how do I get people connected to the stuff that they need to be connected to keep doing their job? And I guarantee you, I guarantee you that oddball IPsec tunnels, strange VPNs, hell, for all we know, dial up into so-and-so's 800 number company and start writing their internal network. I bet you everybody pulled every stop that they could think of to try to make sure that things keep that the economy keeps churning, that things keep moving, that everybody still is productive. And that opened up God knows how many security holes. God knows how many personal private data breaches. I mean, when the dust settles and we start rolling into whatever norm looks like over the next year, because we're starting to see it, states are opening up, things are starting to kind of, as people get vaccinated, things are starting to roll back into life as we know it kind of thing. And slowly, people are going to get out and start doing stuff again. I wouldn't be shocked if we start hearing, hey, the OCR, breach. You brought up the, your doctor's office, I think in the last show, or dentist, I can't remember what it was, but about faxing a form and stuff like that. But how much you want to bet, like in a snap kind of decision and a risk and taking a risk basically a risk decision. No doctor's office was willing to set up, you know, a private email system for their employees. So everybody was pitching stuff over Gmail as fast as they could, or Yahoo. Well, God forbid Yahoo Mail, but, you know, all the independent email systems, because it was free and it didn't cost them anything.
Yeah. Not realizing all that stuff's indexed. listen, I think you're right. I think from a security perspective, I think we've got some work to do. The wave that was this pandemic that still is, but that's waning right now. In the final hours of what this is, I think it was a herring to the face, to make a Monty Python reference. it was a wet fish slap, it should remind us that these things that people put on a whiteboard, agility, scalability, resilience, like these are just not just nice words to try to, you know, put in marketing documents.
It's real.
Like we actually have to go do this. Like you have to think about what happens when central office is wiped out by a hurricane, because it has happened. What happens when your workforce suddenly has to, now everybody goes to work from home, because it is happening. And what happens to that VPN that you get, 100 users a day, because that's how many people are sick. Suddenly all 50,000 of your employees go home and you go, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have enough licenses for this stuff? Do you have capacity? How does your security infrastructure scale even? Does it? Think about device management, Chris.
Oh, God.
Think about the nightmare that is device management, the least sexy part of cyber. Device management. How do you even begin if you haven't done the work up front? Because now you're coming back to a catastrophe.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. I mean, well, you know, I don't know why, but the first thing that came into my head was, you know, just basically asset inventory. You know, the fact that you just had to deploy 30,000 laptops because all of your people went home.
Hurry up and do it.
Yeah. I mean, it is, I think you're right. I don't call us preppers, call us, you know, the soothsayers or omen of things to come. But I don't think this is the last time we've seen this kind of thing happen. It is definitely going to happen again. But set aside COVID. It could be a biological, I'm probably reaching off into the movie scene here, but you know, biological warfare. Somebody decides to drop something in your data center. For that matter, a meteorite hits your data center. You know,
any one of the crazy.
Well,
it's only crazy until it's not.
Well, I mean, until it happens. Did anybody think something like this would happen, where we have
who had global pandemic on our 2020 bingo card? Come on.
Winner. No.
No chance.
Right. No, but no chance. I mean, you know, you we see this stuff in movies. What was the movie? I'm trying to think of the movie. Was it Al Pacino? No, not Al Pacino. God, Outbreak? Was that the one with the Yeah, I think it was Outbreak.
Yeah, Outbreak. Yeah. I think that was one like that.
Yeah, they were ready to nuke a small town because they didn't want this virus rolling out of it. It's like, I mean, this becomes real. Like this suddenly thrust what some countries deal with on a daily basis. I'm gonna go off the deep end here for a second, so just bear with me because this will be fun. Can you imagine what any IT company based in Tel Aviv has to plan for? Just stop and think about that for a second.
Right.
Okay,
yeah, that's fair.
I mean,
it's not the stuff that those guys deal with. Yeah,
we're talking like this is a hub. Israel has become a hub IT location, and think about what those guys have to do to have the resiliency and backup functionality to protect what they build. I mean, now we just got a taste of what that is like. Okay. What they do on a daily basis.
Oh God. I'm going to do you one better.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, I probably went off a deep end extreme.
No, but
I mean that's completely fair, right? It is completely fair. But think about the disaster it's going to be as everybody rolls back into the office, and you're trying to now, wait for it, do the compliance checklist.
Right? Send a shiver down my spine, dude. Oh man, come on.
How many compliance requirements are there that would frown deeply upon suddenly your customer data sitting on a personal device? But you had that, either it was that or shut down business.
Yeah.
Right? No. Like, you got to make a choice.
Yeah, you gotta pick your
poison. We call that calculated risk.
You pick your poison.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. We've run out of time, and I've run out of bourbon. But yeah, it's my line on this is we have to go back to in person meetings. We have to go back to in person events. We have to go back to in person work, at least to some reasonable capacity. That doesn't make us all literally insane and mentally unbalanced.
You know, I actually wondered if we'd ever touch on this topic. You know, I think you and I tried to stay away from the whole COVID, work from home thing for the first few episodes. But I knew we'd eventually hit this one just because of the nature of it and, what it does for security teams and what it does for teams in general and the people that make up, our industry. And, and to be honest, just the way things have gone, I'm sure we've lost a few, few friends and some people we know, and, families have taken hits job wise and financially because of all of this. So it is,
All around.
Yeah. It has proven to be the 2 week disaster that's lasted, 13 months and still going. And so,
well, on a brighter note, so we've got some interesting upcoming episodes as we wind our way into my whiskey cabinet and yours. And, this has been fun. I these episodes get kind of cool to do, 'cause I always look forward to the conversation. We don't have to talk about anything specific. There's no and now a word from our sponsor kind of stuff. At least not that I know of. Maybe they splice this in and I just don't know. Yeah, this has been a great platform. I think we share it with some really interesting other shows. And if you're listening, that's awesome. And hopefully you enjoyed the first half of our segments where, we talk about the things that we're going to be sipping on. And if you have if you have a recommended topic, hashtag IFM on Twitter, but also if you think that we're missing out on some magical brown juice, you should absolutely let both of us know immediately.
Yep.
Because there are gems out there that I have yet to hear about, and I would like to face. For example, I would have never known about this Legends place unless I would have tried it. I'm gonna get Chris on the show either for 10 minutes, although there'll be two Chris's in a raft. I don't know how to deal with that, but I think I'll just call Chris 1 and Chris 2. I don't know. We'll see.
We might have to bring in my alter ego.
Oh, well, that goes well. I know how that's gonna go. Oh man. All right. Folks, thanks for listening. Indistinguishable from Magic, episode 11. So we're past 10. All right. On our way to 500. Oh no, that's DTSR. Hey Chris, before we leave the show, I'm gonna give you the final word, which I know you're anticipating.
Surviving.
That is a damn good
surviving
one. Here's to hoping you're all surviving well and pouring heavy.
Yep.
Tip your bartenders. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you guys next time. Adios.
See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Indistinguishable from Magic podcast with Rafal Loos and Chris Abramson. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.